You ready?
I'm ready.
Ready for the podcast?
Let's do it.
Welcome. This is Board Stiff Podcast Episode 5. How's everyone doing today? I am out here. It's the Lansdale episode. So we are featuring one of my buddies here who's going to help me with the podcast today. This is Justin Monshine. Say hi to everyone, Justin.
What up?
All right. What you just heard here on the podcast was Fable by one of our Lansdale bands here, Merritt. It's a great band. I know at least two of the people here. I think both of us, I think we know, obviously, the singer, Mike Dockery. Crazy dude.
Yeah.
I mean, he's played in my band, and I enjoyed every moment of jamming with that guy. I mean, he's an epic guitarist. When I found out he was in this band, I thought he was playing guitar. So I'm listening to it. It's great. And the music video came out, and I realized he wasn't playing guitar, and I'm like, wait a second.
Rewind, yeah.
He's just singing.
Dude, he's all over. He's got, obviously he's a killer guitar player and doing the dugout stuff back then, doing all the leads and then going to vocals and this and just totally killing it. And like we were saying before, just motivated touring.
And, yeah, I mean, what we were just talking about, I mean, he's touring with his, what, second band this year?
Yeah.
I mean, he just toured with Merritt, and now he's touring with Brandish. We won't make this music part completely about Mike Dockery here. We're just sitting here just gushing over him. But then there's Nick on drums. He's younger than us, but the kid is a killer, man.
And also plays in a ton of projects. I've seen him playing cover bands and other bands.
He did Commonwealth.
He did Commonwealth.
Which is a great band.
Yeah.
He also did
Epic Titties.
Epic Titties.
Yeah, saw that. That was cool.
And what was the metal band? Pillars of Villainy.
Yes.
Pillars of Villainy, great band. So what we listened to was Fable by Merritt off of their EP2, which was just released in July. It's a 2-song EP. You can check it out at merrittpa.bandcamp.com. You can also check out their social media at merrittpa on Facebook and then at merrittpoppunk on Instagram. So as this is our Lansdale episode, we are out here in Lansdale. We are on the streets here, hanging out at Round Guys Brewing Company, man. Cheers, buddy.
Cheers.
So, just, what are you drinking tonight?
I can't tell you because I asked for a Lansdale Lager, and the last four times I've been here, I've asked for a Lansdale Lager, and they've been out on tap, so he gave me something else, and I can't remember the name of it, but it's good, it's good.
It's good?
I recommend it. It's good.
Yeah. All right, awesome. Yeah, I got the Transmission Session IPA, so I'll go into that a little bit. It's a nice, easygoing IPA. It's great for summer. It's light. Just a hint of the hops for your typical IPA, but it's one of those IPAs that you can kick a few back and still feel good. You're not going to feel too heavy. You're not going to feel too drunk. It's a great all-around beer.
Solid.
And, appreciate the guys coming out here and helping us out. Brought us some waters and, been more than hospitable. So, check them out on Facebook. We'll wait till this Subaru gets back here because we're on the streets. Yeah, we got another WRX. We'll see what else happens when we go around. I'm waiting for the first motorcycle to
get by. Right, exactly.
But check them out on Facebook at Round Guys. It's also at Round Guys on Instagram as well. They have a website, roundguysbrewery.com. Great brewery. It's the first time, I've actually been able to drink their beers because last time I came here, it was busy, so it didn't really have the best service, but they've been awesome here for the podcast, so I appreciate their hospitality.
Yeah, borrowing some power from the wall here outside, and it's good. We're in good shape.
Yeah, thank you guys for the power cord. It's been awesome. I appreciate it. It is powering up my MacBook so we can do this podcast. So, we're doing another remote out here in Lansdale. Eric couldn't make it because his feet are incredibly swollen from sunburn, and he's back from vacation. So, I showed the picture. Maybe I'll put the picture up on our social media later.
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly.
It looks bad. His feet look like straight out of Bobby's World. I don't know if you ever saw a cartoon.
Yeah, Eric, I wish you a quick recovery, my friend.
They are some heinous-looking feet, man. Oh, my God. But, he couldn't make it. He's back from vacation, so he's working that 9-to-5. So hopefully he makes it back for the next one. We can talk about cuffed pants and Velcro shoes more.
Yeah. I made sure to put one cuff in my pants today, so they don't they don't touch my ankles quite.
Oh, man, you put a cuff in your pants just for Eric and he's not even here.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right, so we're going into our video section, which I picked some videos this week because I knew Justin was going to be here. Justin is in the last, I'd say, 1 to 2 years have been, you've been a prominent bowl skater.
Yeah, I've been like.
Transition has been your friend.
Strict transition, and really egged on by you probably ultimately because I had no idea how to line a bowl a couple years ago. Strict street skater my whole life, and then, you know, and then getting the push, and it's like learning how to skate a totally new, you know, deal, which is cool, and I've been enjoying it. So yeah, I've been, like you were saying, I've been spending all my time watching nothing but transition skateboarding the last 2 years.
So. I know, man. I mean, you've been obsessed. So yeah. I came to this podcast to expand, open your mind a little bit to some of the more recent street skating that's been going on here.
Awesome.
So first was, obviously, we did the Flair video premiere on our podcast. I think that was like episode 3. So what we have been watching lately was the extra Flairs that have been coming out on Thrasher. One of them in particular was our boy John Ciano from Lakai. This, to be honest, I wish they had the names of the skateboarders on that video when I was watching it.
Right.
Because when his part came on, I was like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
I was like, this guy rips. You know, in my, you know, at my age, I don't know the new skateboarders. So I really wanted to know his name and everything and just coming up with, you know, trying to come up with a podcast on episode 3.
Right.
Like, I knew Riley Hawk.
Yeah. Yeah, you can point him out, right?
And I knew everyone filming because it was like Mike Carroll and Rick Howard were back behind the lens. And those are skateboarders I know.
Correct.
So I don't know any of the new skateboarders out there.
Exactly.
And I'm just sitting there just like, I want to know all these dudes that are just ripping, but... And that's, it was unfortunate.
And that's the hard thing, too, and like Flair, like you were saying, and just kind of throwing a big, almost like, montage together with no names, and you know, you're not sure. The new Anti-Hero video, the new Anti-Hero tour video, I'm not sure you've seen it yet, but it's similar, and it's just thrown together, and you don't know who any, I mean, you can recognize, obviously, some guys, Grower and Grasso and whoever, but the newer guys that you're looking through, ripping, and you can't tell, and everything's kind of thrown together in parts, which goes along with the video flow well, but you watch it and you don't know who anyone is, you know what I mean? It's like, so I understand.
Yeah, so I mean, you watched it here. I had some couple minute marks I wanted to put through on this. We're using Comcast street internet right now. So we'll see how it works for us, but minute mark, 2 minutes, 20 seconds in, the kickflip over the rail. Did you watch that sequence where he practically almost landed on the guy the first try?
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
So he does like, it's a standard, he's goofy foot, so it's just like goofy, you know, he's doing just a regular kickflip over the rail, not switch. And like the first one just almost lands on the guy.
Because
the guy is trying to get like an undershot of it as he's going around it. And then when he first lands, I mean, it's just a kickflip, and at the same time, just the filming sequence of it and everything.
Totally.
It blew me away.
And I was stoked, too, about John Ciano because he, like you said, he's a goofy foot skater, and I am, too. So I kind of watched him, like, okay, yeah, this is cool.
I forgot about you and Jim, man.
Goofy, yeah, goofy, exactly. Fingers.
I just keep going, oh, is that Switch? That was awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's Switch, Dan. I swear. You know, that's like one of those deals.
Yeah, I mean, 7 minutes in, we had the backside Smith on the rail. That was it was off of a bank. It was a real, like, tight spot. I don't know if you remember on the video. So basically what happens here is he goes off a bank to a high handrail and does a back Smith and then lands, and then it basically just touches the rail.
Oh,
like, right at the end.
Yeah,
it was
recall.
That spot where he did a couple tricks there.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
He did, like, a 50-50, did a couple tricks, but the back Smith, the backside Smith. Incredible on that. I did the 360 flip over the, over the trash can just for Eric because I'm like, you know, the big lofty 360 flip is Eric's bread and butter.
Yep.
And even Switch 360 flips are Eric's bread and butter, but we won't talk about Eric because he's not here.
Nice. Yeah, exactly. Right.
We won't talk about Eric because he's not here.
Cheers.
But, sorry, I had to wet my palate there. So, a bit 9 minutes into it, obviously we're probably not going to be able to watch this. It's unfortunate. But we'll talk about some of the video highlights here. Did you watch the, I put on the show notes, LOL, at minute mark 9 minutes and 50 seconds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where he does just a little wally up the little ledge.
Okay.
And the girl's just sitting there having her lunch on her lunch break.
And
she's just sitting there and just like, he basically just claps over it real quick. And I was kind of watching the video and I was like, wait a second. So I like rewind back and she's just sitting there like.
You can just see her.
She's just eating her lunch and she just looks over and like he's literally like maybe a foot and a half, 2 feet from her,
from her.
Just like
right up.
Doing just a nice, I think it was like a switch ollie just over this little ledge.
Yeah.
But like just clips it and just keeps
just
going.
Keeps
and everything.
It's like nothing ever happened.
Yeah, and it was great because I just kept rewinding to that. And obviously the ender is the street gap.
Yeah, that was gnarly. That was
with
crazy.
The scooter.
Yeah, it was wild. I thought that was wild, and a lot of the guys nowadays too, and he was one of them that'll push these lines down bombing hills and you know, big, like, you know, switch backside flip and just roll down a street, you know.
Yeah, he did all those street runs where he just like kept going down the hill.
Yeah, just blasting.
And
it gives me anxiety. I watch this stuff and I'm like, dude, he's like ripping, like.
That's a great thing to highlight on his part was like after every line. He had this like hill bomb where he's just cooking. Mm-hmm. And the one time he's cooking switch.
Full
and,
speed, yeah.
Yeah.
Rolling.
I mean, he's doing like 35, 40 miles an hour. I mean,
moving.
That was insane. But definitely check out Extra Flair on Jaziano. I mean, it's on Thrasher Magazine's website, so you can definitely check it out there.
Yeah.
I wish we could check it out right now, but Comcast, you're killing me.
Yeah. Our street internet's failing us.
No, but yeah, I mean, if that's not going to load, I don't think New Balance Tricolor is going to load. If it just loads, I'll be very surprised because this is a 20-minute one. So our next video, obviously, New Balance dropped a 20-minute edit called Tricolor, which had three of the heaviest hitters, two of them I know from way back in the day, and then a new guy here. Three features was basically Brandon Westgate. We had PJ Ladd,
Yeah, he was major in my...
He was huge.
Yeah, absolutely.
PJ Ladd, was it The Wonderful Horrible Life?
Yeah, Wonderful Horrible Life out from Boston, New England, and
He was killing it. And Flo, and I'm gonna butcher this, and I'm sorry, it's Flo, I believe it's Mertain?
Probably, sounds right.
Sounds right,
yeah.
I mean, I'll just get my accent in there a little bit. So I highlighted a couple parts here. Brandon Westgate only had a couple tricks in the beginning, but he is a monster. I mean, he's been in the game for a while. He always has the friend section. He's always in the friend section, killing it. The big 360 flip over the trash can he does.
Yeah.
Real
gnarly.
Big. And that was at the 2-minute mark. So if you're watching this, fast forward to the 2-minute mark. I'll have all these videos in the show notes so you guys can check them out. They'll be on the show notes, obviously, on all our platforms. Definitely click the links, check it out. But yeah, the big 360 flip at the 2-minute, 7-second mark. Amazing.
Yep.
PJ Ladd, 60 minutes, 25 seconds in. He starts his journey. Has an amazing part. 17 minutes, 14 seconds. This is, I mean, he's obviously known for his... He's known for the flip in, flip out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's technical.
Definitely.
He is technical. So, I mean, in the, you know, 17 minutes, 14 seconds in, half cab, heel flip, nose slide, which... was incredible. Oh, shit, we actually have it rolling.
Cool, we got it on.
It actually went to where I left off last time.
Sweet, picked right back up.
Oh, man, I don't think it's going to run, but I'm just going to turn that off.
Yeah.
But, yeah, 17 minutes, 14 seconds in, half cab heel flip nose slide, nollie 360 heel flip out.
Yeah, these are tricks that I don't even, they're not even in my dreams because I know on that, you know, it's not even something I
mean, half cab nose slide, I'll do that, but I'm not doing half cab heel flip.
No, I got no, and like you were saying, PJ Ladd is a name that we grew up with, you know, for the most part, and him and Westgate, and PJ Ladd's One of Our Life was a major video in my skating career, you know, skating life, you know, that I've had.
Yeah, it came out like, I remember it was in between, Flip Sorry,
mm-hmm.
and then Flip Like Really Sorry. It was like in the middle there. I remember he put out this like little section, and it was like a little DVD of like PJ Ladd's Wonderful Horrible Life or something.
Yeah, because it was a shop video or something like that. It wasn't even, it was like, I forget what the shop was.
It was almost like a zine.
Like
it came out, and it was like before, I mean, YouTube was out, like YouTube was like around,
yeah.
But like it was still one of those things where it was like a little disc,
right?
That like Fairman's or at your local skate shop, like that. I remember because I was in Westchester, so it was at Fairman's,
right?
And just seeing that. I mean, he's great. Did you see his shoes? They just dropped from New Balance.
I haven't seen them. No, I haven't seen them.
They look like the most comfortable shoes for a guy my age. I'm
still trying to get used to New Balance being in skateboarding like that. You know, like this. It's like blowing my mind. I'm like,
no, I know. No, I know exactly where you're coming from.
But it's cool. But with Tricolor, the one thing that I really enjoyed about the video is the filming and editing was fantastic. I thought the color grading was great. The filming looked great. The editing was great. It was smooth. It was nice to watch. It was easy on the eyes. You know, okay. And don't get me wrong. I love VX footage.
Yeah.
And I know that a lot of guys are going back to the VX footage now. And throwing depths on. But this is nice. It looked good. It was a nice.
No, this is something I definitely talk. I mean, it's a great point. With that VX versus like high def like
right.
quality.
Right.
I know VX is big right now, and VX is very nostalgic for me. It's
right.
very nostalgic for all of
right.
us.
Exactly.
Going back to the death lens on
yeah.
the VX camera. But I mean, we have high def nowadays,
yeah.
guys. I mean, if you watch Lakai's The Flare, it's,
yeah.
I mean, they have a death lens on like a 4K camera.
Mm-hmm. And it looks great.
They have one of those 360 cameras where it's like the full, like,
yep.
it's basically enfolded in glass.
Right.
And they're holding a ball, and it's a camera that just rotates in this ball. And it's incredible. But yeah, I understand where you're coming from with that. And, New Balance, when they first came out and announced that they were going to do skateboarding shoes,
right.
when they announced the numeric, that first video
yeah.
was revolutionary.
Yeah.
So, you got
to
check it out.
I'll have to check it out. Yeah, I haven't seen it. But I figure it is nice. And even a video like this is nice because they have, obviously, they have the budget to be able to use
yeah, they're new
nice
equipment,
yeah. right? You know, which is cool.
Yeah, it's like at the same time, you see all these, like, these major footwear companies. And, I mean, Nike, I've got my reservations about.
Right,
you know, stuff like that. Adidas, a little bit. I mean, I do like their running shoes, but at the
yeah.
same time, I like my smaller companies.
Yeah.
I rode S for a while. I'm back
right.
to Vans, but
yeah.
you know, I rode S for a number of years.
Yeah.
And you see these big companies come out, and they're putting out skate shoes, and, you know, as a skateboarder, you hold some reservation to that.
Sure.
You kind of look at it like you're trying to be that punk.
Right.
You're trying to be that punk against the established.
Right, right, exactly. Where you got the punk rock police, you know what I mean, coming down and saying, which again, like you said, I understand it and I get it. And I understand why people have their reservations against these companies, and I do. You know, I'm
yeah.
same as you. I'm sure we have the same opinion on it. But at the same time, it is in a situation like this. It's easy on the eyes. It's nice to watch. It's a good production. The budget really helps out with the production. I thought was cool.
Yeah, New Balance Tricolor. I mean, you can get this on YouTube. I got it off of Transworld Skateboarding.
Yeah.
It's on YouTube. I mean, what's great about this is like they didn't have to do a big release. Obviously, it's not as big as like Lakai's The Flare or anything.
Sure.
It's a 20-minute video, which is nice. But you can get it on YouTube. You can get it on Transworld. I kind of like when companies just put out a video and you don't have to pay for it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I mean, I felt like I was ordering a UFC fight when I got the Flare.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm like, oh man, I'm going to have to pay to get this?
Yep.
I'm like, all right, got it. You know, I'll pay for it.
Sure.
And, you know, I enjoyed it, but at the same time, I missed the days.
Yeah.
But then again, back in the day, I was buying VHSs.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And now we have VHSs and no VCR, so we can't even watch any of these VHSs, you know what I mean?
Well, soon, I'm going to have a VHS episode.
Awesome.
I have a stack of VHSs, and I'm getting a converter.
Sweet.
And I'm just going to run the podcast while we convert.
Can't beat that.
A pile of VHSs.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall on that one.
I've got S's Menic Mahdi.
Classic.
Welcome to Hell.
Dude.
I've got
I'm sure a ton of 411s, I'm sure.
Dude, I've got secondhand smoke from Plan B
wow.
in 1993.
That was a great video.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
It's incredible. But yeah, these are the two videos we featured for this podcast. Keeping it short out here. Hope everyone's enjoying the weather today because this is beautiful. Other than the wind like blowing around my show notes, this is nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Out.
Beautiful. Got some current events here. I'm gonna pick your brain about some snowboarding here, Justin. I know it's a little out of your wheelhouse.
You be the teacher, I'll be the student because I don't know. Yeah, I don't know anything about it, but I'd like to learn. So
what happened in the last 2 weeks was. Someone big in the snowboarding industry, someone who kind of helped to shape the snowboarding industry, passed away.
Okay.
His name was Ike Garst. He was noted as one of the first employees of a ski area who let snowboarders ride the chairlift.
Okay.
So, I mean, a little history back in when snowboarding first came around, it wasn't well accepted by,
okay.
obviously, the skiers.
Sure.
You know, we were, you know, it was the punks of the mountain,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, the chairlifts wouldn't allow the snowboarders on the chairlifts because, you know, they just didn't know how to accept it. They were like,
so they were allowed in the park, but they weren't allowed on the chairlift? Or they
yeah.
weren't, or the, you're saying the
they
chairlift
They were allowed
is,
there, but they had to hike.
Okay.
So they weren't able to get up to, like, you know.
That's miserable, yeah.
Unless you were up on your cardio and
right.
everything like that.
Right, right.
So, this Ike Garst dude, he purchased, it was a Perthown Pass ski area. which I believe was out in Colorado.
Okay.
He purchased this mountain at the age of 26. And they ran operations for almost a decade. So it was like 1977 to 1987.
Okay.
So he operated this mountain during basically when snowboarding was being created. So he basically, like I said, I put some notes here. He planted the seed for local snowboard kids to become legends, changing the trajectory of snowboarding as a whole by hosting some of the first contests and breeding instructors.
Awesome.
Two people who came from this were two names you'll probably know. Thompson.
I recognize the names.
Jake Burton.
Yeah, I mean, right, exactly.
You're looking at these names.
Major
players. We wouldn't have Burton without this guy.
Right.
I mean, Jake Burton got on the hill and, you know, worked on his craft because of this guy.
That's awesome.
I mean, if this guy wasn't around, we wouldn't have Burton, and I have probably at least 7 or 8 friends who would be who wouldn't be here or wouldn't be snowboarding today if it wasn't for Jake Burton.
True.
I mean, they their entire quiver is Burton, Burton, Burton. I mean, I've got one. I even have a forum, which is Burton, basically. So, like,
awesome.
I ride all Burton. Everything I have is Burton. So,
killer.
You know, I appreciate it. I mean, you know, rest in peace, Ike, man.
Yeah,
rest in peace.
Thank you for your work for the.
Hope you're riding out there. I hope you're letting the. Mountains ride. Have snowboarders up there.
Yeah. Cruising the clouds.
So, I mean, obviously, you're going to pick your brain a little bit about snowboards.
Yeah.
And everything on that. And we're going to go into some skateboarding for you. Keep you in the know.
Killer.
So, obviously, I know you're not big into a lot of the sports and everything
that,
other than, like, skateboarding.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Like, basketball, football, and everything.
Right.
I mean, I kind of watch. We both work in offices.
Yeah,
so, we have to kind of know a little bit about the sports.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
You go into the water cooler, someone's talking about football or basketball, and you're just like, yeah.
Yeah,
Carson Wentz, pretty cool guy.
Yeah, it's the whole
seems like
talk.
A cool guy,
yeah,
right?
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, you have to have that small talk. But one thing I did see on the barracks was Kyrie Irving. He's a basketball player, professional basketball player right now. I believe he is in between teams right now. He's
okay.
In the middle of a trade, so I didn't put the current team because I didn't want to be wrong.
Right. There you go.
Because I heard there's a trade going down right now as we speak here as we're recording.
Cool.
It involves Isaiah Thomas from the Celtics. So something's going down with Kyrie. But what's cool about Kyrie Irving is he's got a skateboarding background.
Sweet.
He's a professional basketball player. Grew up with a skateboarding background. Did you watch the video? The full video of him just hanging out at the barracks?
I didn't get a chance to, no.
All right. So he's hanging out there and he's watching like the skateboarders basically just kind of doing their thing.
Sure.
He's sponsoring Skull Candy the whole time.
Okay.
So he's got Skull Candy stickers on Skull Candy.
All over the place.
Yeah. I mean, he's basically a billboard there, and it's great. And he's just hanging out, riding his skateboard around. But he's talking about like. One of the things that I highlighted on it was the thing he said about skateboarding can bring you different places just like basketball.
Yeah.
So, you know, skateboarding kind of gave him an opportunity to meet a lot of great people in that culture. So, you know, and I feel that, you know, with skateboarding, you know, I met you obviously through music, but, you know, we played in bands that played together, but at the same time, we were both skateboarders.
Sure.
And we found out we were both skateboarders.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and basically it's why you're here, man.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. And I think that also in skateboarding and probably other sports, I would assume as well. I can't really speak, obviously, for everything. But I think it's cool because I feel like it's a zone where you can go to a park, you can go to a street spot, or you can go somewhere with your friends, and you have people from all walks of life, all skin colors, all backgrounds, and everyone's friends, and there's no hostility, and everyone, for the most part, usually wants to help each other out and meet and make friends, and I think that it's...
Which is very important, I mean, in today, I mean,
right.
You, with the news and everything, obviously, you know, don't want to get too political, but things are happening right now in the world where, you know, we got to kind of, you know, as a species, you know, gotta act as one here. I mean,
It's important.
And I feel that skateboarding is one of those things that transcends race, gender.
Right.
I mean, everything, socioeconomic status.
Definitely.
I mean, I rode with skateboarders who, you know, came from Fortune 500 parents.
Yeah.
You know, they came from companies that were, you know, they're making 6 figures.
Yep.
And these were the most humble dudes I ever rode with. I mean, they were still awesome. But then I also rode with the guys who grew up in, like, you know, South Philly.
Yeah, skating the same cracked deck that they can't afford to replace. You
exactly.
Know what I mean? For years.
You meet, along the way, you meet people who are just You know, they're from all these different backgrounds. And I thought, you know, hearing from Kyrie Irving being a professional basketball player, hanging out with professional skateboarders, it was kind of cool to hear. And I liked it. I liked how he was talking about how he could, like, drop in. And then, like, if you watch the video, he does try to kickflip. And, like, he's got the flick.
Right.
He definitely has the flick. I mean, it definitely reminded me of, like, trying to get my kickflips back right now. I'm like, oh, man, Kyrie Irving's going to land a kickflip before I do.
So, and me not being too familiar with him, I can assume that he's very tall, right?
Oh, he's a big dude.
Yeah, right. So I was going to say, so he's probably, exactly.
Yeah, so I mean, he's hanging out there at the barracks, and he's probably got about 6-7 inches on
on anyone else. Yeah, exactly.
Everyone there. I mean, there wasn't a lot of tall skateboarders there when he was visiting, but it was pretty cool. I'm going to put in the show notes the link for this, so you guys definitely check it out in the barracks.
Awesome.
So, I mean, that... It was very uplifting,
right.
And I liked how he talked about skateboarding too, about how it transcends just everything,
right?
Yeah,
which is the truth. And like you said, we know that and we've experienced it, and it's cool to hear that from someone else that's a mainstream name, you know.
Yeah, hearing it from, you know, basically hearing it from the outside, someone who, like, not totally in the skateboarding culture, but, you know, he had involvement at some point in time.
Right.
But, you know, he had the, you know, he picked up the basketball. It was what he was good at, and he excelled at that. But he never forgot where he came from. He never forgot the skateboarders he hung out with and stuff like that. Never forgot the experiences that, you know, he learned as, you know, hanging out with skateboarders and something like that.
So. Absolutely.
So we're going to get into another article here that I got from actually the Ride Channel, which, do you follow them on
Facebook? I do. I like Ride, yeah.
I like Ride, too. I mean, a lot of their stuff, they post almost every day.
Yeah.
And it's great. A lot of the stuff is a couple years old. Some of the stuff is relatively new. But this thing here is going to kind of transition to why I brought you here.
Cool.
Is basically, it's called the... And I'm going to probably butcher the pronunciation of this again, because it's located in Palestine, but it's the Jais Skate Park, which is a project that's going on. Hold on, let's get...
Got a Subaru and then an ambulance, so we're good. We're good now. We just need
what's
a motorcycle.
Going on,
yeah, exactly.
Right. So the Jais Skate Park project, which in the village of Jais in Palestine, a very, I would say, an area that's riddled with conflict. I mean, obviously you hear Palestine in the news and everything.
Right.
You have the Israelis and the Palestinians, and it's a constant conflict there. So what the skate park project is doing is they're creating a safe space for children and young adults in a war-torn area.
Right.
Which, obviously, do you remember Skatistan
in
Afghanistan and everything like that?
Yep.
Having the, it was basically a lot of young girls in Skatistan.
Right. And I remember,
you know, riding in Afghanistan. And, it, you know, looking at this too, which is great, basically creating this park in the middle of, you know, war-torn Palestine. I mean, you have two opposing sides who, you know, claim, you know, ownership of this land. And I feel like, you know, creating a safe space like this, like a skate park, and it's exactly what we just talked about with Kyrie Irving.
Right.
Is, you know, skateboarding transcends race, you know, religion, socioeconomic status, and everything
gender,
like that.
Absolutely.
Gender.
Right.
You know, when you go to a skate park, you don't hear that stuff. You know, it's about who can land it, who can't.
Right.
Basically.
Exactly. And like you're saying, I think it's important too, because, you know, it's the kind of thing where you can go here and you can have a session and you can forget about all that's going on in your life while you're skating, or, you know, while you're skating and having the session and hanging out with your friends.
Yeah.
And I think that's important, and it goes along with the whole safe space definition as well, is that you can kind of forget what's going on and you can enjoy yourself in this place.
Yeah. I know. I like how you put the quotes around. I put the quotes around too, because I didn't have a good name for it, because I don't like the term safe space.
No, but it makes sense. It makes sense.
It does make sense in this context.
Right.
And, yeah, I mean, it is a safe space, which means, like, you know, they're not going to draw a line in the sand at a skate park. Blood's not going to be shed at the skate park.
Right.
When you're there, you're riding. You're there for the sport.
Right.
You're in soccer and everything like that. You know, it happens.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you know, we've seen, like... I don't know if you've seen YouTube videos of, like, soccer games that get, like, ugly and they, like, behead the refs
gnarly,
and stuff like that.
Definitely.
But, yeah, it's crazy to... It's... I don't know. I I support it, and I feel like it's something that's going to move in a positive direction for the Israeli-Palestine conflict.
Absolutely.
Because it's almost like throwing a little Sweden right in the middle of Palestine, because you know, it's neutral, it's a place where people are going to ride, and they're going to forget. You know,
what's going on? It builds community, you know what I mean, which is important.
Yeah, exactly. No, that is great. You can donate for the JS Skate Park Project in Palestine at, and that's at jayuspark.com. Now, that's J-A-Y-Y-U-S Park, P-A-R-K.com. And you can make a donation there. I mean, they're looking for donations still. I checked on YouTube. I mean, they've got a park there right now, but obviously, you know, expansion's key, maybe. I've seen literal parks that are as big as this patio area that we're hanging out in.
Yep.
And they call it a skate park, and then you're like, you know what? You guys can do better.
Yeah.
So, I mean, donate to these guys because, I mean, I've seen the size of the park. They can do better.
Yeah.
And they can do better with your help.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, transitioning from this, I mean, obviously, you know, it's a little bit easier here in the States to kind of get that money for a skate park.
For sure.
And which kind of brings me on to what we're looking at today, which is bringing Justin in here about the proposed Lansdale skate park. So, I mean, you've got a lot of information on this. I'm just going to kind of go with a brief history of you skateboarding in Lansdale, because, I mean, you started your skateboarding career local here.
Yeah, correct.
Obviously, I was out where I was.
Right.
And we never, you know, as youngsters, we didn't skate together. We got together, what, like 2010, 2011?
Yeah, a couple years ago. Yeah, a couple years ago, but not in the pinnacle, I wouldn't say in the pinnacle of our careers.
Yeah, we were, you know. Yeah, we were kind of semi-retired musicians.
Right, exactly.
Saying, hey, you skateboard? I skateboard. Why don't we skateboard?
Exactly.
So, I mean, I put a little brief history kind of thing of some of my favorite local spots, obviously. So when did you start skateboarding here in the Lansdale area?
So I've always lived here. I've always been a Lansdale resident.
Yeah.
My dad taught my brother and I how to skate, and just locally down the street, you know, when we were kids. And he wasn't a skateboarder, but I think that he wanted us to get us outside, you know, like anyone else. And we had an old Pal Peralta set up that we had. I wish I still had today, which I don't. But we were kind of cruising around, and I picked it up, and my brother went into inline skating. So we acted like we didn't know each other and went to skate parks.
Yeah, just kind of ignore each other as soon as you went through the gate.
Exactly.
I don't know this guy.
But I was probably 10. You know, it's been a long time. You know, and that kind of transitioned into getting in, you know, figuring out, getting my first 411 and realizing that there's a such thing called a skate park that you can go and skate at. And at that time, Cheap Skates was the place.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was a Cheap Skates rat for the years, the late 90s. So my ID card from 98 from Cheap Skates, which is
I know,
what
man,
keeping
I've seen
my
the
wallet.
Picture,
yeah,
dude,
I'm like, it's
awesome.
Like my prized possession, you know what I mean? But yeah, I skated Cheap Skates for years, and I loved it, and I learned a ton there, and I learned a ton from a lot of the guys, and I'd watch people shred, which was great. And I remember standing on top of the vert ramp and watching the guys skate the ramp and just thinking, like, this is insane, this ramp's so big, how can anyone do it? You know, you feel the ramp shake under everyone's weight. I went through the different changes over at Cheap Skates. I went from, you know, when they had the 6-foot spine into the bowl and the vert ramp in the middle, and then they changed the whole park and kind of they had that Cloud 9 ramp and the ledges that go down, which was fun, and I learned park. But at the same time, I was skating street, you know, heavy.
Yeah, I mean, that's where you always start, I think,
totally.
At a young age, is you start in the streets because, you know, obviously, I saw older pictures of your dad building you quarter pipes and stuff. And, I remember building my first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, what started before that was, like, parking blocks.
Yeah.
Curbs
totally.
And stuff like
loading
that.
Loading docks and little gaps. And,
exactly. Mm-hmm. So you start with the street. So, you know.
Definitely. And, I mean, Lansdale, as far as what Lansdale's had skate park-wise in the past, we had, obviously, we have Wedgewood, which has been around for a long time.
I love Wedgewood.
my apartment is right outside Wedgewood. It's walking distance, basically.
No
skating distance.
No
over
shit, really? Is it still there?
It's still there. Fully functioning.
Awesome.
It's great. They have all kinds of stuff. Pole jam, and they got a permanent quarter pipe there. They got their ledges still and everything, and their manual pad. So it's great. It's still there, and I'll kind of go into that when I start getting the Lansdale stuff, but obviously Cheap Skates is gone. They went down in 03, so they've been down for 14 years now.
Yeah, I know.
And Cheap's, you know, and just to hit on that again, it's crazy because, you know, with and what we were talking about before, Viceland running King of the Road and Viceland running Epically Later, you see, you don't realize, being from here, how important Cheapskates was in East Coast skateboarding in general.
Yeah.
You see it in Eastern Exposure too, I believe. They have a full Cheapskates part. You see Steve Cab skating it. You got Bucky Lassick skating it. You got Mike V skating it. You got all these guys skating Cheapskates.
Mike V skating it was
is
incredible.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And you see these things, and these are all, and Tom Boyle, who recently passed, rest in peace, but he was a big park guy.
I mean, he was a Cheapskates. Like,
he was there. He was a local. You had Sean Miller, who was a Cheapskates logo, passed in 95, but you have his, and I believe the vert ramp at FDR was his, donated from his family.
Yep.
But you have all these guys that were such major players in East Coast skateboarding, Bam Margera obviously skating there, and you have have all these guys, and it was incredibly influential part of East Coast skateboarding, that skate park, which, you know, really, I have so much pride that's 5 minutes away from here. You know, that was the Lansdale Indoor Skate Park at one point. I know
you guys had Cheapskates, and I remember, like, back in my area, I mean, obviously, like, being, like, further down south, I always, like, I took advantage of Charm City, where I took you to,
for sure.
Obviously.
Right.
We had 360 skate spot for a little bit, which was kind of in the middle between us.
360 was cool, and I skated there.
So, like, you've skated 360,
we skated
360.
Yep.
One thing I talked about in the last podcast was the Schaumerville Skate Park in Emmaus.
And I never made it to Schaumerville.
You never did,
but I always heard about it. I always wanted to get out there, but I never made it out.
I remember it was, like, one of the first skate parks that Tony Hawk visited, too, and it was, like, crazy. And, like, it was definitely, like, after that happened, a bike and rollerblade park, which happened to every skate park around here.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, the streets belong to the skateboarders, and then, like, BMX and rollerbladers took care of all the skate parks back in the day.
Right.
But it's, I mean, we just don't have those spots anymore, like Cheapskates, 360, and Schaumerville anymore. Like, you don't have that big skate park that you can go to.
You don't.
But you have those outdoor parks now, which is nice.
Which is nice. And that was the thing, I think it's such an insurance investment at this point these days for the indoor parks.
It is, because it has to be privatized. It's an indoor park.
Exactly, right. And I think that's the tough part about it. And as much as I do miss having the private indoor skate parks, obviously, especially in the winter when you're you know, jonesing to go skate, it is nice that there are these public parks popping up, whether they're skate waved. I mean, the Westchester Park, I know you've talked about on this podcast before.
Oh, yeah.
Wawa Park is a great skate wave park. It's set up well. I don't love skate wave, obviously, but that park's set up well, I feel.
Yeah. It's a well placed skate park.
Right.
Black Rock being a kind of an old skate wave park.
Sure.
It had its time, but I mean, it's not well set up, but you'll have a good time there. But no, understandable. I mean, you don't have those setups outside like you did with those indoor parks.
Right.
But you're starting to.
Right. There's your Harleys.
I knew a Harley was going to go by.
Exactly.
I was waiting for it.
Exactly. But no, like you were saying, I mean, they're not set up the same. But it is nice that they are, because they are popping up so much more frequently now, that you have options. You have a lot more options than we had when we were kids, obviously you have the free of charge. You can roll in there and you can skate.
Yeah, skate your own risk.
There's no
waiver,
skate your own risk, right?
Yeah.
Most of the parks don't even require pads. You can kind of roll in and just cruise around and not have to worry about anyone being on your back.
It's definitely like a new experience. And I feel like it was a new experience that we kind of fell into in our, like, mid-20s, though.
Yeah.
Like, before that, I mean, Black Rock came out, I think, it opened when I was 17. So in 2003, I went to the grand opening of Black Rock, being like, this is the first outdoor skate park in my area I've ever seen.
Right.
And I was just like, are you kidding me? This is incredible. And, you know, ever since then, it's been like, oh, Radnor's got a park.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, Redding's got two skate parks.
Exactly,
and,
right.
Like, they're all this skate wave just popped up everywhere. And at that time, it was great because we just never had it.
Right.
But now we're old.
Yeah.
We're fickle. And we want something.
We want what we want. Right, exactly.
Exactly. I mean, and then you start seeing all these great concrete parks. You and I have gone to York.
Yeah.
And,
huge, great park.
Yeah. But, I mean, the reason I brought you here, obviously, is Lansdale is proposing a concrete park, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So, obviously, you've been, you know, you participated in some of the talks, you've been to some of the meetings.
Yeah.
You know, what's going on? What's the proposed location? What are we going to expect from Lansdale here?
Cool. So, basically, I mean, this goes as far back as, like, the late 90s, when it was proposed initially in the mid to late 90s, when I first started skateboarding. My mom worked at the YMCA for a long time, and we had been proposing a skate park when I was a kid.
Okay.
The YMCA built a small wooden, you know, movable ramp. Non-permanent little ramps, pull them out of a shed, bring them out and put them in the parking lot in like 98, 99.
Okay.
And that was the closest thing anyone's had in Lansdale, aside from Wedgwood, which is obviously the DIY spot, skater built. The closest thing to anything that had anything to do with skateboarding was that small YMCA that lasted one summer and disappeared. So we've been bugging the town for years and years and years. And being 10, 12 years old and now being 30 in a couple months, it's finally getting this dream that we've all had, being here is great. The meeting started, the first major meeting that we had was in October of last year. And it was very well attended. We had a ton of people. We packed the room out. Skateboarders,
awesome.
BMX riders, parents, kids, adults, all ages supporting the park. But also we had an opposition made up of all ages that was heavy. And I was there was so much drama going on between the neighbors and the neighboring neighborhoods. Now the first meeting in October was basically proposing the idea of Lansdale getting a skate park. No details really. They were kind of going through and figuring out the specific different location points to put the park. Initially, they were going to use the Madison lot, which is right here where we are, basically right behind us. Actually, directly across from us, behind Stove and Tap by the train station.
Got it.
They had a grant that they would from a real estate agent that was going to allow building permits to be built in that Madison lot, which they ended up kind of axing. But they had a couple other locations proposed. They knocked it down to basically four major locations.
Okay.
So we kind of sat and we talked about it, and we had the neighbors come out from all the different neighborhoods saying, I don't want this park here, I don't want these hoodlums in my area, I don't want these kids selling drugs on the block.
So that was the biggest opposition, was hoodlums and drug deals?
For the most part, but it kind of ranged from, but then again, you know, everyone has to understand that there's such a generation gap between a lot of the homeowners in Lansdale that have been here forever that are 50, 60, 70 years old that don't even know what skateboarding is. You know, what are these wheelie boards, you know what I mean, or whatever.
No, yeah.
Thinking that, you know, you have these tattooed guys coming in, maybe intimidating looking.
So this was like Dirty Dancing, where they're just like, it's like, we don't want this dancing here at this camp.
That's exactly what it was. It was just like
Think
that.
Of the children.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what it was. And so it kind of ranged from people freaking out and people taking the stand. You'd have skateboarders take the stand and say, this is so important to us. This is so important to us. Giving stories, kids giving stories from high school students, middle school students. You know, this brought me outside. I didn't have any friends, and it was very difficult for me to make friends until I went to my first skate park and realized that there's other people out there like me. And I
feel
like
exactly.
You hear stories like this. It's so undeniably important to have I hate to use it again, but a safe space for these kids to go, that they can grow and learn and live and understand there's other people out there like them. And then you have the neighbors that are like, we don't want the skate park here. We don't want the noise. We don't want the this and that. We don't want the kids cruising down the street. We don't want the kids skating on our property. Well, you know, and all these, and it ended up being a 3.5 hour battle back and forth live in this room. It was like anxiety ridden crazy. I'm sitting there, I'm like, what's going on? But the nice thing, and I'd love to give a shout out to all the council board members in Lansdale, because they've been 100% on our side.
That's awesome.
You know, and the mayor had come out at one point and he was talking about how he really wants the skate park to be bottom up. So in other words, pushed from the skateboarder level upwards, because to him it seemed like the skate park was top down, because the council was so for the skate park that it was pretty much undeniably voted in almost immediately. Because they wanted it.
The community, the opposing community did not want it.
Right.
So what they had to do was kind of change it to basically being a community to the leaders instead of the leaders to the community.
Exactly, exactly.
So they wanted more of the community to step up and talk about it and to be for it, because they already had it in their pocket. They already wanted it. They see it. Obviously, it's going to be in the Olympics soon. We have the X Games. You have Dude Tour.
Right.
It's big nowadays. You have soccer moms who are becoming skateboard moms.
Yes, absolutely.
And stuff like that. I mean, it's going to be great for the community. So
definitely.
No, that is a great. It's a great point.
It is.
Props to those guys for that.
Yeah, for sure. And really, one of the most important and exciting points of the first initial meeting to me was going in and expecting it to hear the Parks and Rec director, Carl Saduti, shout out, he's great, pushing another skate wave park or another park that we that necessarily isn't anything different than what we have anywhere else or that's not up to snuff. He did his research prior to this meeting, coming in and showing, you know, and being like, you know, these are the parks we've looked at. We've gone to Ambler and looked at Ambler. We've gone and talked to Team Payne. We've talked to the Tony Hawk Foundation. We've talked to, you know, and gone through, and he did his own research because he knows that if you build a skate park, If you put a bid out and you just put a bid out for general contractors and you get a park built, you know, here's some money, slap it together, cool.
Roslyn.
He knows exactly right. Yeah, shout out. You know the kids aren't going to skate it. You know it's not going to be well received, and the kids aren't going to. No one's going to want to skate it. So then it's ultimately you're spending all this money for nothing. And he realizes that. So he did his research prior to this meeting and came to the meeting prepared and was like dropping Team Payne and Jesse Clayton and Fifth Pocket and doing all these things before we even had to touch anything.
It
made me so stoked because I was like, this guy knows, he gets it.
He didn't go to Roslyn and see Universal Concrete written on the
exactly right
ramps
right.
Go, oh, these guys have a good thing going for them.
Right, exactly.
It's
right.
Terrible.
I mean, that's the other thing too. He was telling stories like, you know, he would go to Ambler at 1 p.m. on a Wednesday and see what the audience would be like there. And he had talked to people, he had talked to the neighbors, and it was nice to hear that one of the councilmen had ended up going almost door to door in the townhouses across from Ambler and interviewed the people that lived there. That have nothing to do with skateboarding, but just borderline the park.
Yeah.
And you know, kind of got their opinions, and everyone loved it, and everyone thought it was great, and it bumped. It honestly brought up the home value in that area because it was not a great area prior to the skate park.
And they put it down by the septic station.
Right by the septic station. You have these new homes. You got this new, nice looking skate park that's well kept. You got families out there. It's important for everyone. And like you said, it's being in an Olympic sport. I know that's a touchy subject, but in reality, that is a great point to bring up for us on the bottom end here in Lansdale to push the skate park, because we need a facility that, if you know, say we want to have someone, we need someone that's going to be able to push their skills and train at a worthwhile facility here locally. Wouldn't it be great if Lansdale had an Olympic athlete, you know?
Dude, it's great to have that card to pull.
Obviously,
you have your other sports here. You're making facilities for soccer, basketball, and everything. And I mean, they're all great sports. I'm not downplaying all those sports, but you don't have those facilities for skateboarding.
Exactly.
And you know, there's a big spotlight on skateboarding now.
There is.
And you know, it's definitely something that a lot of communities have looked at.
Yeah.
Because they see all these skateboards, and another thing that we were talking about. It's like, what's the impact on the youth, you know, putting a skate park?
Right.
I personally think, you know, I love street skating. I like finding spots.
Sure.
But it takes a lot of the danger of, like, you know, street skating, you know, kind of takes them off the street, takes them out of the road. I mean, a lot of skate parks are built, and it's sadly because people are passing away on the streets because they're getting hit by cars.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
And
York Park was that deal, Roslyn was that deal, and you know, Patrick Carrick.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these street skaters, you know, who kind of pioneered, you know, street skating in their neighborhoods, you know, unfortunately they pass away, and what they do, and it's unfortunate that it has to take a kid to pass away to like build a skate park. So I mean, being proactive here in Lansdale, being like, listen, we need to build a skate park.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Absolutely. And we can push and push and push from the skater level, like we've done since the late 90s.
Yeah.
And look where it gets us. But when you get support from the people that matter, the councilmen and women that are on the board, that understand how undeniably important it is to have a skate park like this, is such a great feeling. And I can say that everyone on the Parks and Rec board that have been working have been absolutely 100% the greatest people. Fully supporting skateboarding, fully supporting a skate park in Lansdale. So that basically covers the October meeting. Recently in March, it got voted in. They voted in the actual location, which is going to be 4th Street Park. You're basically Lansdale Avenue. You get to it off Lansdale Avenue.
Okay.
It's right past, right around where Lansdale Catholic High School is, back in the neighborhood. There's already a pool there. And they picked this location, I think, ultimately because it's easily accessible. They have parking there already. They have a pool there, which is great because all the neighbors that are complaining about noise, the pool and the study done, the pool is going to be louder than the skate park would be. And they already have a pool there. So having a pool there is going to drain out the neighbors. They have plenty of open green space to put the park, and they aren't just planning on laying concrete down. They're planning on making it aesthetically nice looking to
like people. A plaza.
Almost like a plaza. I don't think it's going to be a plaza specific, but it's going to have trees, it's going to have shrubbery, so sort of a plaza. I don't, but I am, I'll get there, but we are going to hopefully have some transition in it, but it is going to be cool. Yeah. Basically, the details is going to be at 4th Street Park. It's already voted in. It's 100% happening. We have about 9,500 square feet. To give an example of what that is, yeah. Ambler's 7,200.
Yeah. So
it's going to be a bit bigger than Ambler, not huge, not double the size, but it'll be a little bit larger than what Ambler has laid down. And we also decided, the board decided on the builder, which is going to be Jesse Clayton and Fifth Pocket Design, which is cool. He's had a hand in Paynes. He had a hand in Grace Ferry. He had a hand in a lot of the keyholder spots in the city, Cellar and the Foundry, which is opening up in September.
little plug there.
Yeah. So it should be cool. He's a great designer. He's done a lot of cool things.
Right.
Most of us, if not, most of us have skated his parks, maybe without even knowing that he did them. So it's going to be put together well. Again, he did Ambler. And Jesse had come to a meeting and got to speak out, which was great. He's been in contact with Carl and has a great outlook on building and how it's going to impact the community, which is really nice. So the whole situation has been really good. Though we have had, again, like I was saying, neighbors fighting it from every point of the way.
Okay, obviously you went into like an opposition being like, drugs, delinquency,
right.
Like delinquents out there and everything like that. Are there any other oppositions? Like, is there noise being an opposition to?
There's a noise.
I remember you talking about lights being an opposition.
I was just going to bring that up. Noise is an opposition, which the pool statistics kind of push that out of the way.
Yeah.
Which is good. The lights, initially when we were talking about the skate park, the lights were a big thing in the October meeting. The neighbors were like, we don't want lights blasting on us. We can already see these things. We don't need lights on until 12 o'clock at night, and so on and so forth. Which, fine, makes sense.
That's an easy compromise.
I mean, right.
You don't see a lot of skate parks like that with
you
the lights
don't.
On.
You don't. Yeah, right, exactly. And lights is something almost in a lot of skate parks that you get to earn over time when you see how the park does and
exactly.
develop.
I mean, that's baby steps. That's something you can definitely push back.
Totally. And so I think that they'll probably, my guess, if I can make a guess, judging by the way everyone was talking, was they'll probably install lights initially.
Okay.
I don't know that they'll leave them on. They'll probably push the hours back, which is great. It's cool that they're even putting lights in the park initially is great.
No, it's nice for the fall and everything, too.
Exactly.
Because, you can get at least, from that 5 o'clock hour to,
right.
like, 8, maybe a few extra runs in.
Exactly.
But, you don't have to be open all night.
Right.
I mean, I'm in my 30s. If I was living next to it, I love skateboarding.
Right.
But I don't like hearing skateboarding at 10:30 when I'm sleeping.
Exactly.
We got jobs we have to get to and everything.
Totally.
So I can understand from the community standpoint of that.
Yeah. For sure.
But like you said, lights are something that you can gauge, the sound and interest and everything.
Exactly.
And then bring those in slowly.
Exactly.
If it's built well enough where, you're not going to be able to hear that.
Right.
It's not that hard to put a couple vinyl fences around it.
It's not.
And enclose the sound a little bit. I mean, you're looking at transition. Transition stays in the bowl.
Yeah.
And if it's going to be anything loud, you put a nice vinyl fence around it, you're
totally.
Not going
to
hear it.
Not, right, exactly. And not to mention the shrubbery and also the location of where they want to put the park in the actual overall park is nice. It kind of, where I'm looking right now is if you're looking at an overview, you have the pool and you have this on the other side of the pool further from the houses, which is going to be nice, and that's going to block a lot of the sound too.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be an issue. They're going to do a lot of nice landscaping. They're going to put nice pathways, walkways around. It's going to look aesthetically pleasing, and it's also going to be a great park for us to skate.
Yeah.
It's going to be fully concrete, and they're looking again 9,500 square feet, and it's going to be a great park. The next step really in our whole outlook here is a design meeting.
Okay.
Is going to be upcoming. That's when we really need people from the ground up to come. We need the skateboarders to come out that are going to be skating the park. We need, whoever else to come to the design meeting, and we need to really talk about what kind of obstacles and what kind of park format we want. I think that I'm biased a little bit, but I'd like to get an enclosed bowl in the park because we don't have that in the immediate area. Roslyn's got one.
Langhorne's
got one. But as far as the immediate area, we have a street set up at Ambler, which is great. And I think that with amblers parked, something to complement that on the other side. And again, this is not going to be a fully transitional park, but something with an I'd like an enclosed bowl.
You want a kidney bowl.
I want a kidney bowl. I want a kidney bowl. I want something, a nice flow bowl that we can skate.
Not something you would have said back in like 2007 or 2006.
Right, exactly, right.
In your old age, you're like, these kids these days don't know the appreciation of, they don't appreciate a nice kidney bowl.
Yeah, right, exactly. And so, but it's going to have a lot of good street elements, and it's going to have, you know, we're going to push for, and it's going to, and I really want to push for closed concrete bowl section there, which will be cool.
Yeah.
But it's important that, you know, and obviously everyone can talk, and this is kind of where we're at now, it's, there's been drama now online already about what people are expecting and what's going to be built. Well, everyone can talk on the internet, but come out and show your support in person and talk about this to the people that it matters to the Parks and Rec Board, to the skate park designer. I assume Jesse Clayton would obviously be out there, and he'll be kind of doing different stages of build outs on the computer and printing them out, and then we'll be able to approve it. So before the skate park gets approved, it's not like Lancel's just going to put it down.
Yeah.
They're going to run it by everybody. We're going to vote obstacles in. We're going to make sure that the park is a usable park by the people that are going to be using the park on ground level, which is important. So all the steps are really, they're taking all the right steps to everything.
So how can people like get involved? Obviously, like does the Lansdale community have like a Facebook that they're going to post on this, or a website? Like,
Definitely check out the Lansdale's actual town website.
Okay.
They have agendas for the Parks and Rec meetings.
Okay.
The reporter, Lansdale's newspaper, also runs articles and makes sure that everyone knows that these meetings are including skate park as an agenda. So it's important to us.
Because obviously we're going to have listeners who are going to be, they're going to be in the area, but like obviously they're not in Lansdale.
For sure.
But they're going to want to support this because it's going to bring in people from other areas to, you know, come skate here.
For sure.
Obviously I'm going to be coming in from where I'm coming from, and you know, I want to be involved. I want other people to be involved.
Right.
Because you know, you have areas around here that are just ripe with skateboarders. I mean, Langhorne with the Dogwood Skate Shop and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, they're pumping out some serious riders out there.
Yeah.
Down in Delaware, we talked about Kinetic always.
Kinetic and 7th Street.
They've got amazing skateboarders down there.
Definitely.
I mean, these are people who can vouch for Lansdale being like, hey, Langhorne's got an amazing park. You know, there's no crime. There's no, you know, juvenile delinquents down there, doing anything illegal.
Right.
You know, they can vouch for this.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
And getting these people involved are, you know, it's character witnesses, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and that is important. But I think at this point, like we were saying, with the design meeting coming up, if you want something, if you live here and you plan on skating the park, and you have a say, please come out, speak, use your voice, let the people that need to know what is important and what's going to be skatable over and over and over and over. I think that's important, and that's going to be the next major meeting. And again, also to check out for updates, Lansdale BMX and Skate on Facebook. There's a group.
Oh, really?
On there, which is, it's small right now, but I'd like to bump that up. And I'm not even on Facebook right now, but it's on there, and it's important to check out. And we've been putting updates on that forum and getting the word out through that forum.
Well, that's why I wanted to get you out here.
Yeah.
I don't know anything anymore that's happening with this because, I mean, Mr. Monshine had to leave Facebook here.
I know. I'll be back eventually. I'm taking a hiatus. But it is important to check out that forum as well for local stuff. And also, just to touch on Wedgwood again, to come back to that real quick, in October during that meeting, another big bullet point of that meeting was the existence of Wedgwood. Ooh. If they were going to get rid of Wedgwood because they're putting this park in. And the Parks and Rec Board is 100% keeping Wedgwood. So please, everybody, listen to this, because this is a big major. The Parks and Rec is not planning on doing anything to destroy Wedgwood. If anything, if there's any leftover funding, it'll go to the maintenance and upkeep of Wedgwood. They love Wedgwood. Wedgwood cleaned up that park, cleaned up the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And there's been no issues with that park. And it's an important piece of our skate history. And they know that, and they are full well going to keep that. It will not be disappearing.
That's kind of like Gray's Ferry with the plaza
and,
at Paines Park. They made Paines.
Right.
And then with the leftovers, they kind of, you know, went over down to Gray's Ferry and made another amazing park, which I like that because I did some of my best skating at Wedgwood.
Yeah.
You know, I met some cool dudes down there. You know, like, I didn't skate the Lansdale area. I skated Wedgwood. That was about it.
Right, right.
And, you know, I had a great time. I heard of the gangs down there, so you had to keep your P's and Q's down there.
right, exactly.
Yeah, you had to keep your car locked when you were down there.
Yeah.
But, you know, they weren't the skateboarders. The skateboarders were... the solution.
Exactly. And right, and it really truly was.
And
it
was kind of a problem.
Exactly. And now, I mean, everything, the neighbors love it, you know, and the neighbors from Wedgwood came out in support of this new Lands of Parks, stating their background with Wedgwood and being, this park cleaned up the neighborhood and the kids are great and they help, you know, this and that, and there's never problems and everything's great.
Yeah.
So Wedgwood will stay. Nothing's going to happen with Wedgwood. And like they said, if anything, if they do have leftover funding, it'll go to maintenance and upkeep of Wedgwood, which is great.
That's awesome.
Again, we have a really good situation going here in Lansdale, and it's important.
No, that's good that, like, they didn't go, like, you can have one but not the other.
Exactly.
You know,
right.
They were like, you know what, we understand the involvement of Wedgwood.
Right.
And, you know, kind of preserving that bit of history.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Right. Yeah,
I like that a lot.
It's been great. And like you were saying, I mean, it's super impactful on all the young kids. And like we discussed earlier, getting kids outside and getting kids involved in the community and getting
kids,
you know, to understand that there's life aside from video games and computers, you know, and sitting inside, which is great. And skateboarding will do that. And like you were saying, to tie it back in, skateboarding creates relationships.
I mean, it fosters a community, basically, a feeling of community.
Right.
Like, I can't tell you how many friends I have just from different socioeconomic statuses, races, genders, that I met from skateboarding.
Yeah.
Like, even, I mean, more so from skateboarding than even music.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, you know, music going on, like, the little few tours I've been on.
Right.
And everything like that, I'd meet more diverse people. I met more diverse people just hanging out down in Baltimore at the Inner Harbor.
Yeah.
Skating a ledge.
Cruising around, right.
And just, like, sitting there with, like, the locals down there.
Yeah.
And just hanging out.
Absolutely.
Like, I felt like I had more involvement with different people there than I would have ever had in any other aspect of my life. I mean,
yeah, totally.
It's definitely, it fosters a feeling of community.
For sure.
And it's a sport that does that.
For sure.
But I just wanted to say, you know, first and foremost, thank you for coming out and talking about this.
Thank you for having me. This is great.
Because, obviously you've taken a break from social media. I haven't been able to find out about it.
Right.
But it's been, like, it was, like, a post-it on my desk, like, talk to Justin about Lansdale Skate Park. It was, like, one of the first subjects when I was getting this podcast together.
Awesome.
I had a couple things, like, obviously, I talked about in my last episode, like, fitness was, like, the first one because I'm, like, sitting there trying to get back into shape.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's going to be my first one. And I had all these skate park projects I was thinking about.
Killer.
And Lansdale one was like, you know, I haven't heard from that in a while. It's basically because Justin decided to not put his life online for me to follow anymore.
Right,
I was, like, wasn't able to stalk Justin anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, I appreciate you coming out and talking about it. You know, thanks, you know, for, you know, sharing a beer, even though it wasn't the beer you wanted.
That's all good. Thanks for having me, man.
And, you know, coming out to this.
That's awesome.
You know, I hope the listeners, you know, get involved, you know, locally. If you're a local skateboarder listening to this right now, even if you're not a local skateboarder, you know, if you have friends out in this area who, you know, you communicate with, tell them to get involved with this. You know, listen to, I'm going to put some of this in the show notes because I'm going to get some of these Facebook pages and websites and everything from Justin. Put them in the show notes so you guys can get in, you know, get involved with this. And just, you know, help to build a better community out here in Lansdale.
Absolutely.
By putting a skate park in there. So that's definitely going in the show notes. Yeah, I appreciate you guys coming out to listen to us tonight. Obviously, I'm going to push some social media here, so it's going to get a little boring. I have to do this every time. So, you know, you can listen to us on Facebook, or you can listen to our posts. You can, you know, watch our skate videos. Facebook and Instagram is at BoardStiffPodcast. Send us emails about topics, new beers to try out. Obviously, I mean, I'm going around locally here now. So, you know, always trying to find new beers to try out for it. Also, local music. If you've got a band and you want us to hear it, you know, throw it out there for us. That's why we're here as well. Even local skate topics, you know, so I don't have to sit there and rack my brain and contact Justin and, you know, drag his ass to a brewery and about, you know, topics. You know, send us stuff. It's boardstiffpodcast@gmail.com. You can listen to us on SoundCloud. It's soundcloud.com/board-stiff-podcast. Apple Podcasts have us, and that's Board Stiff Podcast. That's on Google Play, too. We got Stitcher. Special thanks, obviously, again, to Justin Monshine for coming out, man.
Cool.
Thanks, buddy. Another one here is Round Guys Brewery for giving us a table with a power cord so we can do this. I appreciate that. Also, special thanks to Merritt for providing us some music to listen to, especially some local Lansdale music. Appreciate you guys. Thrasher, as always, Transworld, The Barracks, and Ride Channel for our current events and videos. I hope everybody had a good time today, and we hope to listen to you guys some more times. So, hey, Justin, cheers.
Cheers.